Good morning. Well, as Mark said, we would like to welcome you this morning, and a special, very special welcome to any visitors this morning. If you are new, if you haven't been here before, it's a great, great day. It's a great day to welcome you, and I hope you feel certainly a special guest this morning. You are a special guest in our mind, so if you're new, just a special welcome to you. Even if you're not new, we're glad. This is the time when we gather together as the body and a spiritual family. And so I hope that you feel a part of that this morning and that you're strengthened this morning. Part of us getting together on Sundays is for strength so that when we go back out during the week, we have what we need to enter in and to be a part of what God has for us that week. So I hope that happens this morning. I hope you feel a part of it, you feel welcome, you feel loved, and then you feel hopefully strengthened this morning as well. So anyway, it's good to see everybody. Of course, today is a day that we celebrate men. Okay, let's just go there first. We appreciate men. Amen? Yeah, okay. I heard a few ladies. Affirming that we have a men's breakfast this coming Saturday, and it's at 8 a.m. There's going to be, I don't know if all of those foods are going to be there, but if bacon is there, I will want to be there. Amen. Thank you. Bacon makes everything better. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but it does. men's breakfast, anyway, great time for food fellowship and a devotion. In your bulletin, you see a little reminder card. There is somebody that looks like a man on the top of that card. I think that might be Iron Mike. But anyway, so this is a little reminder of the men's breakfast this coming Saturday morning. So all men are invited to this. 8 a.m., you can come in, we'll have a great time, and then get on with your day and still have most of the Saturday to do whatever you had planned. So hopefully that's something you can come to. If you have any questions, Matt, can I just point you out? Raise your hand there, Matt. If you have any questions, you can certainly talk to Matt about anything related to Saturday morning. At the same time today, you know that this is a day where we also honor a certain segment of men, and that is fathers. And so really a very key, important role that some of us play, the role of father. And so if you are here today and you are a father, we honor you today as well. Such a challenging, and I'll say this from my own life, a very challenging role. At times, a very rewarding and a fulfilling role at times, and a role that I know I covet prayer in as a dad. And one of the more important things that we have in culture is the role of father. And so if you are a father this morning, we want to just honor you and say Happy Father's Day. And like all men that we appreciate, we also appreciate fathers. Amen? So happy Father's Day to all of you dads here this morning, and hope you feel honored and maybe even a little spoiled later today as the day gets going. Of course, we have been started last week, talking about a battle and how when we step out, and we've been challenging us as a congregation to step out this year, step out in new ways, new areas, new ministries. And we said, as we step out, the reality is we are stepping out into battle. We're not just stepping out into a very peace-filled place. We're stepping into a battle zone spiritually. And so we're talking about how we can really prepare for the battle that we are all stepping into. And as followers of Christ, young, old, men, women, we are all engaged in this. We are all engaged in a battle. If we've said we are trusting in Jesus Christ and we've received that ultimate gift, then we're in this battle. And sometimes we're very aware of it. Anybody very aware of the battle this week? Yeah. Sometimes it feels like life is okay, and then we can almost forget that we're in a battle because things are just kind of rolling along. But there's different seasons. But the reality is, the truth is, we are always engaged in a battle. And so my hope is that these few weeks where we are going to focus on this will better prepare us for the battle so that we will be less fearful and more fruitful. Again, that's our goal. So I think if we just look, and I just want just for a moment, if we just look at the world, can't we see the battle? Don't we see the battle, the battle of evil in our world? I mean, you don't have to look far into the news and see a group like ISIS, inspired by pure evil. There's just nothing else we can say about that. There is nothing that is not evil about what is going on in our world and specifically related to that. It's evil. That is a part of the battle. And we don't even have to look far in the United States. The events of this week in Charleston, South Carolina. Evil. The battle. Wrong. We can see so many examples, and I'm not here to talk about all those examples today, but we can see the battle, can't we? If we open our eyes, we can see the battle where evil really is what it is battling. And we are engaged in that, and we may feel that differently in our home. We may feel that differently in our heart, but we can see and identify the fact. If we just look, there is a battle that is raging. You don't have to look very far. You don't have to look very deep to see that there is a battle. And as followers of Jesus, we are engaged in that. We are engaged in that battle, and our response to that battle is very key. And so my hope is that, for these next few weeks, we will be better prepared, okay, to engage in this battle. So Ephesians 6, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. This is the passage that we began last week. I'm going to talk about, we're going to get into it at verse 14, but we're going to review verses 10 to 13 just to, again, get our minds going. This is what we got into last week. And so in review, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Again, we have to remember that in this battle, we fix our eyes on Jesus. We don't try to go out in our own strength. He's already made us strong. You are strong in him, and we go now in his strength. So this is not a battle we have to fight in any way on our own or our own strength. That's good news. Amen? His strength. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. This battle is real. Our enemy is a schemer. That means he doesn't come at us many times head on. He will come at us from the back. He will come at us from the side. He will come at us subtly because his methodology is evil and it's sneaky. He's a schemer. We have to be very aware or we'll miss his schemes. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is very, very key. The enemy is the ultimate enemy. Even though he may inspire flesh and blood, human beings, to carry out some of his work, and that's what we see a lot of times, our true enemy is the enemy. The enemy is Satan. He is the enemy, pure and simple. He is the one that we are ultimately in battle with, okay? We can see the effects of flesh and blood, but the ultimate enemy is Satan himself, and we have to remember that. The enemy is ultimately the enemy. Okay, but we wrestle against rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We are wrestling with evil. It shouldn't shock us then that sometimes when we step out, there's conflict. It shouldn't shock us that life isn't always the easiest. It shouldn't surprise us. We should never be surprised that life sometimes gets difficult. Why? Because we're in a battle. This is ultimately a spiritual battle, which means that it ultimately mostly for us resides inside of us, but the battle plays itself outside as well. But this is a battle. It's real. Shouldn't surprise us that it's difficult at times. Verse 13, and now this is Paul again pleading with us. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, and here is pleading this morning, take up the whole armor of God. Don't do life unprepared. Don't do life with partial armor. Don't do life putting on some of the armor. Don't do life forgetting that you're in a battle. My brothers and sisters, please, will you take up, and I hear him saying this to us, if he could, he'd say it passionately. Will you please take up this whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm? Now that's what we talked about last week. And so today now we're going to start with this armor. We're going to talk about the armor piece by piece and how we put it on. That starts in verse 14. So let's read about these six pieces of armor. We're not going to get them all today, but let's read about these six pieces of armor that we are to put on every day. Verse 14, Paul says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth," piece of armor number one, "and having put on the breastplate of righteousness," number two, "and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace," shoes are number three, "in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one," that's number four, "and take the helmet of salvation," number five, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God," that's number six. We have six pieces of armor that we are to put on every single day. Now, I want to tell you that these individual pieces of armor are not the key. The key is the truth behind these pieces of armor. I believe God gave us this picture of armor so that we would have a visual to remember what we are to put on. The key is not that we put on a belt. The key is that we put on truth. Do you see what I'm saying by that? But these pieces of armor are visuals. They are important. They have some symbolic meaning. But the key is the truth behind these pieces of armor. But the pieces of armor help us on a daily basis to remember, wait, I need to put on my belt. And I need to put on my breastplate. And I need to put on my shoes. And so what he did, I believe, is he gave us these pictures of armor so that we would be able to visually remember, I am to put this on to prepare for the battle that I'm going to engage in. So today we're going to talk about some pieces of armor. And I believe these are incredibly key to being successful in this battle that we're in. So let's pray. Let's ask again the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be with this time as we really look at preparing for battle this morning. Heavenly Father, we do come to you. And God, first of all, we are thankful. We are thankful for the great salvation that you paid for in the life of your son, Jesus. And God, we didn't deserve that. We can't earn that. We were never good enough. And so we come very humbly, very thankfully. Father, may we approach even your word this morning with a very humble heart of gratefulness and thankfulness of being welcomed into your family. And then, Jesus, you very clearly said that if they persecuted you, then they would persecute us. If they hated you, then they would hate us. And we know, God, that there is still a battle that is raging. This won't rage forever, God. One day you will come back, and Jesus, you will return, and you'll grab us as your church, and we'll be with you forever. But today there is still a battle that's raging. And so we need to be prepared, God, because this is not our home. We're in battleground right now. And so help us to never think that somehow this life is the end or this earth is our home. God, this is temporary and it's a battle. Father, sometimes we feel that, sometimes we don't. At all times though, God, we need the armor. We need to be prepared for this. And so help us this morning as we look into your word and see these individual pieces of armor. God, may you inspire us. May you stir us to want to put these on every day. May this be the beginning of something that is a life change for us and that we put on this armor literally every day before we go out. So God, we need your Holy Spirit to do that work. Thank you for the gift and the promise of the Spirit who has promised, Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth. So I pray that you do that this morning. We love you and thank you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, we're stepping out into battle. We're going to be talking about pieces of armor, individual pieces that have incredible meaning and importance for us. I want to encourage us with something before we take the first piece of armor. We have to remember that putting on the armor is preparing for battle. It's preparing for battle, putting on this armor. Many times, and maybe you've experienced this, you get into the midst of a spiritual battle. You're in the midst of something that is very difficult, and you instantly want victory, and you're wondering why you're not experiencing that. And you're wondering why this is really seeming to take you right out. And I think many times the problem is not that these pieces of armor are not available, but that we haven't put them on in advance. See, the armor is meant to be put on in advance of the battle. Many times we want to try to put the armor on when we are in the midst of a battle. But we have to realize that you put the armor on prior to the battle raging. And so these are like bridges that you are building before you need to walk over them. Does that make sense? So this is proactive putting on the armor prior to needing the armor. Many times we get into the midst of it and we struggle more than we need to struggle because we haven't put on the armor in advance. You see, this armor is to be put on every day, but it is to be put on proactively in advance, which means that, now this is just the harsh reality, this will be something you will have to put on at a time when you don't need it. So it will take self-control and it will take discipline. And again, we need the Lord for all of those things. We will have to make a conscious choice. Lord, I'm going to put on this armor before I actually need the armor. And that takes a lot of things. And so we're going to need God even to do that. But we have to remember, these are to be put on daily, these pieces of armor. All right, so let's take the first piece. The first piece of armor is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. An ancient belt was generally leather, and it held a warrior's sword. So the belt held the sword in. The other thing it did is if you were going to be running a race or you're going to be running at all, you would take the folds of your clothing and you would tuck them in to the belt. And so the belt really did two things. It held the sword. We're going to be talking about the sword. If you remember, that's one of the pieces of armor. But the belt of truth held the sword of the Spirit, and then it also prepared them to run. And so if you think about this for a moment, wearing a belt prepared warriors for battle, and it prepared athletes to run their best. So truth now, this is the belt of truth. Truth is like a belt that prepares us for battle and prepares us to run our best. We need truth. And truth is something we must put on every day. Now, what is truth? Let's define this quickly. Truth is the actual state of things. It is reality, it is revealed, and it is verified. Truth is the actual state of things. It's reality, revealed, and verified. What is truth not? Truth is never deceptive. Truth is never concealed. Truth is never hidden, and truth is never sinful. That is what truth is. That is what truth is not. We are to put on the belt of truth every day. Now, truth is a huge topic in the Bible. I can't possibly cover all of truth this morning, but I want to give you just a couple of things that truth is. Number one, God is the God of truth, and he always speaks the truth, always, 100% of the time, because he is truth, Isaiah 65. Jesus said he was the way, the what? Truth and the life. So God is truth, Jesus is truth. That's John 14. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who then leads us into all truth. I prayed to him to do that this morning, that he would lead us into truth. That's John 16. So God the Father is truth, God the Son is truth, and God the Holy Spirit is truth. It's who he is. Psalm 119, 160 says the sum of God's word is truth. So if we take God's word in its fullness, it is truth. Now remember, we are in a battle. Our enemy, the devil, never speaks the truth because there is no truth in him, John chapter 8. So do you see how this battle is first going to rage in your life? The battle is going to rage with truth because God is truth. The enemy has no truth residing in him. So the first way we are going to experience this battle is an enemy who is going to lie to you. He is going to tell you things that are just not true. And haven't you experienced that? The whisperings into your voice, you're not loved. You may not be saved. You don't have anybody that really cares about you. You've screwed up too bad. Oh, maybe the opposite side of that. You're so awesome, you don't need anyone. You don't need God. You can be the master of do you see what I'm saying? The first thing that will happen is an enemy who will speak lies. If you go back to the garden, that's the first thing that he did. He twisted in a very scheming, evil, methodological way. He schemed against Adam and Eve. See, the first thing we need to do is to put on truth as a belt. So how do we do that? For each one of these pieces of armor, I'm going to have two little thoughts that help us to know and to remember how to put this on every day. How do we put on the belt of truth? Here's the first thing. Number one, we must seek truth. If we want to put on the belt of truth, the first thing we have to do is we must seek truth. Seek it. Listen to what Proverbs 23:23 says. Buy truth. Have you ever thought you needed to purchase truth? Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Listen to this, please. We must proactively seek the truth. I must want it no matter what it costs me. And it will cost me to seek and find truth. Have you ever thought that before, that truth costs you something to seek it? That truth doesn't just come on because I want it, that there is a cost associated with it. What is the cost associated with seeking truth? It is a diligent, wise search for truth. Seeking truth costs us a diligent and wise search for truth. I must be willing to seek and search out truth when there's a lot of other things I could be doing. When I could be doing a whole bunch of other things, I must choose to seek truth. Now, we just talked about where is truth found? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and in His Word. So I must be willing to seek Jesus. I must be willing to seek the Father, seek His Spirit, and I must be willing to seek the truth as revealed in His Word. But that costs me, doesn't it? Because there's a lot of other things I could be doing when instead I could be seeking truth. The first way that we put on the belt of truth is we seek truth. Now, if I don't seek it, what happens? Many things will drown out the truth. Many things will drown out the truth. What drowns it out? Busyness drowns out truth. Our culture's voice can drown out the voice of truth. Our culture is speaking loudly into our ears, my friends. And if we don't proactively seek truth, our culture will speak louder than truth will. Also, our enemy, as I said, will plant lies into our ears. And if we don't seek the truth and know the truth and embrace the truth and buy the truth, it will be drowned out by the lies of the enemy and the misleadings of the culture. So we have to desire truth. Remember, this is armor. This is proactive armor that prepares us for battle. The first thing that we must do is seek truth. How else do we put on the belt of truth? Second thing, we not only seek truth, but we speak truth. It is armor for us to speak truth. Ephesians 4:15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. This is one of the most difficult things to do, to speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love is armor for us. It protects us. You know, it's a lot easier to just speak the truth in harsh reality. isn't that easier? I'm just going to speak the truth because I know the truth, and I'm going to give you the truth because you need the truth. And I'm going to speak it in harsh reality. That's easier than speaking the truth in love. Or sometimes it's also easier not to say anything. So I'm not going to speak the truth at all. I'm just not even going to say anything because I don't want to offend. And sometimes speaking the truth is going to cause a little conflict, and it's going to get a little uncomfortable, isn't it? And so I just won't say anything. So the easiest thing to do is either to speak the truth in harsh reality, Or to not speak the truth at all and just pretend like we're loving. But it is armor for us to speak the truth in love. What is speaking the truth in love? Here's what it is defined by me. Speaking the truth in love is telling someone what they need to hear in a way that they can best receive it. Speaking the truth in love is telling someone what they truly need to hear, but you give it to them in a package that they can best receive that truth. That means I must be willing to consider them in this truth. Of course, Jesus gave us the idea that we need to take the log out of our own eye first, so we must speak the truth in love by speaking it humbly. And we must consider the person who is receiving that truth. We can't just start throwing truth out there without consideration of the person that we're speaking it to. It's considering them. And I will tell you that this is difficult. This is tough. Speaking the truth in love is a difficult thing to do. It's unnatural, and yet it's incredibly life-giving. First thing we do, how do we put on the belt of truth? We seek the truth, and then we speak the truth. We seek the truth, we speak the truth, and that is how we put on the belt of truth. Second piece of armor this morning is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. In this piece of armor, the breastplate obviously guarded the key organs. It guarded the heart. It guarded the lungs. It guarded the core, the center, the key, the life of an individual was protected by its breastplate. So let's define what righteousness is. This is a spiritual breastplate that guards our heart in many ways. What is righteousness, first of all? Righteousness defined is what is just, what is equitable, what is innocent, what is holy, and what is right. Righteousness is a legal term. It is a term that many times brings us back to a court of law. It's a term that implies judges and juries and things like that. This is what is ultimately right, what is decreed to be right. What is decreed to be just? What is decreed to be equitable? This is a breastplate that is righteousness. What is righteousness not, then? Righteousness is not injustice. It is not inequity. It is not lawless. It is not wrong. So that is what righteousness is and what it is not. Again, biblically, a huge topic, can't cover it all, but you're going to see a theme here. Right, our God is a God who is abundantly righteous, the word says, and he always speaks righteousness, always, only flows out of his mouth. Jesus' kingdom was a kingdom that would be defined in righteousness, Isaiah chapter 9. The Holy Spirit now convicts believers of righteousness, John 16. Here's the good news. This is the gospel in a short little picture. Jesus, who was the righteous one, now became our righteousness. That's good news. Amen? See, we couldn't get justified on our own. So the righteous one became sin for the sake of the unrighteous ones, who then, because of what Christ did, became the righteous ones. And so now we've been adopted into Christ's righteousness. We've been made innocent and justified before God. Now here's the enemy part of this. Here's where the battle rages in righteousness. Our enemy and those who are deceived by him, and there are many who are deceived by him, can disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. This is the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle that sometimes evil is spoken of in the package of religion. Have we seen that over the years? Yes, we have. We're seeing that today. That evil disguises themselves as righteous. That there is somehow righteousness that can be disguised. It can be sneaky. People doing evil things in the name of religion or spirituality. Well, see, that's because that's what the enemy does. He disguises himself as an angel of light. It's deceptive. So there is the reality, which is God is a righteous God, and then there is evil. But the problem is evil can be disguised as righteous, which is why we need to be aware and put on righteousness so we can see what is really going on. So how do we do this? How do we put on the breastplate of righteousness every day? Again, two ways. First way we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number one, this is going to sound familiar, like truth, but we pursue righteousness. We must actually be in pursuit of righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us how to do that. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So look at this. Look at what he says. To pursue righteousness, I must stop pursuing myself. To pursue righteousness, I must stop pursuing, look at that, flee youthful passions. Youthful passions are things that I want. Youthful passions is life is all about whom? Me. You see, to pursue righteousness, I must stop pursuing myself and my goals and my agenda and my plans. To pursue righteousness starts off by stopping the pursuit of everything in this world that I want. All of a sudden, the world no longer revolves around me. Oh, bummer. But you see, the pursuit of righteousness, what is right and what is just and what is equitable, begins by taking the focus off of me. So every day I must pursue righteousness by stopping the pursuit, the all-out diligent pursuit of myself, my selfishness, and I must fix my eyes now on Jesus and what his righteousness and his equity and his justice would have me to do. So the pursuit of righteousness is a stopping the pursuit of me. Now that's hard because sometimes I enjoy my pursuits, or sometimes my pursuits are really difficult and I'm having a tough time, and it is taking my focus and putting it back onto Jesus, the righteous one. And that's the beginning. Remember what Jesus said. He said that we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness in the Sermon on the Mount. So the right thing to do is to pursue what is truly the right thing. And that stops, it begins with the stopping of the pursuit of my thing. So we pursue righteousness. Then the second thing we do to put on the breastplate of righteousness is we do righteousness. We pursue it. Then we do it. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he, that's God, is righteous. See, we have to remember, this is battle armor for us. Did you know, look at that first one, pursuing righteousness. Did you know that being less selfish is preparing you for battle? Did you ever think that the more selfish you are, the more vulnerable you are in battle? The more that yours and my world is revolving around me, the more susceptible I am to the deceiver, to the schemer. The more that I am in pursuit of everything related to Mark, the more vulnerable and open I am to attack. When I pursue righteousness, it is armor for me. When I take my mind and start turning my eyeballs out rather than them facing in, when I turn them and I look unto Jesus, it's armor for me. And then the second thing is we do righteousness. So we not only pursue it, but now we do it. 1 John 3:7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices, that means literally does righteousness, is righteous as he, God, is righteous. After deciding to pursue it, we now do it. So what does that look like? We become individuals who care about what God cares about. We start becoming interested in the things that interest God, what is right and what is just. We don't just live within justice. We don't live within equity. We don't live when something is wrong, we don't just turn the other way. We start caring for the things that God cares for. We don't put up with things like abuse. It's wrong. It shouldn't happen. We don't put up with things like neglect. We don't just live with that. When we see things like sex trafficking, we don't just turn the other cheek and think that doesn't matter. No, that's wrong. And so we care about the things that God cares about. We do righteousness. We do it. We do something about it. We don't just live with people who take advantage of the vulnerable in our society. We don't just live with that. We don't just say that's okay. See, we're talking about armor here. We're talking about protection in the battle. Did you ever think that it was protection and armor for you to do righteousness? When we care for the widows, when we care for the fatherless, when we care for the orphans, things we talked about 2 weeks ago, when we care for those who God cares for, it is armor for us. It is preparing us for the battle. We are less vulnerable when we are caring about and for the people that God cares about. It's protection for us. It's armor for us to pursue righteousness and then to do righteousness. Doing the right thing in our heads, in our hearts, and then with our hands. Doing the right thing is literally armor. It's literally protection. It is something that we are to put on every morning to be prepared for the battle. We are to put on righteousness, justice, and equity every day. Third and final piece of armor that we're going to talk about this morning is putting on the armor of the shoes of the gospel. Shoes of the gospel. Now, ancient warrior shoes, and boy, there's a lot of differences out there in ancient warrior shoes, but they were a combination of both protection for the feet and mobility, because much of the battle was hand-to-hand combat. And so these shoes had to be very mobile. They had to be very agile. Sometimes they looked more like sandals, the strappy ones that the ladies are wearing all the way halfway up their leg, you know, that kind of, and that was an ancient Roman warrior sandal. But sometimes if the battle was intense or over certain terrain, it became a very protective shoe as well. And so it was a combination of what would protect me, but also what would make me very mobile and very agile. Depending on the specific battle that a warrior was in would change the shoe that they wore. So think of this. In our battle, our combat shoes are called the good news shoes of peace. Now, isn't that interesting? We're talking about a battle. We're talking about armor. And he tells us to put on the shoes of what? Peace. The gospel of peace. Now, there is only one gospel. But it's interesting that he would define the gospel in this battle, armor, combat scenario as shoes of peace. But think of this for a moment. I've never been in a war. I know there are some veterans here, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your sacrifice. But I have to imagine that the greatest news, when you are in the midst of a battle, the greatest news that ever could be spoken would be news of what? Peace. The best news in the midst of a battle would be news that there is now peace. And so he's telling us that we bring the gospel, the good news, as shoes for our feet. In the midst of a battle, we bring good news of peace. My favorite definition of peace is a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Woo! That sounds pretty nice. Untroubled, undisturbed well-being. So what does that peace look like? Colossians 1, 19 and 20. This is the gospel of peace. For in him, Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus was the God-man, fully God, fully man. All the fullness of God was in him, as well as being fully man. And through him, Christ, to reconcile to himself all things. Christ's work was a reconciling work. It was a bringing back what was lost work. It was, this is now here, and I want it here. I want it back close. That's the gospel. Whether on earth or in heaven. Now look what he said. Making peace by the blood of the cross. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ, when the God-man took on sin and he shed his blood, became the final sacrifice, that brought a final peace between us and our Father. Yeah, that deserved an amen and a louder one. When Christ died on the cross, that brought peace between us and the Father. Yeah. See, that's the gospel. It is a gospel of peace, which says that even if you never realized it, there was hostility between you and God because of yours and my sin. See, our sin brought a wall, the book of Romans says. And it was a hostile wall. There was no peace between us and the Father. And Jesus Christ came, and when his flesh and his body were broken, that same wall of hostility was broken, and thereby now we can have peace in the deepest part of who we are, in our very spirits. He made peace within us, the deepest part of us, by the blood of the cross. Because Jesus became sin for us. And so now he is saying that that gospel, that peace-filled gospel, is now like shoes for your feet as you step out into this battle. So let's talk about, how do we put on those shoes? How do we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace every day? Again, I have two ways, and you'll notice they rhyme. Two ways we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Number one, we wear the gospel. We literally wear the gospel. Let's read that verse back from Ephesians. And as shoes for your feet, having put on, wearing, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Readiness, remember, this is preparation. This is preparation for battle. So what happens? This is how we wear the gospel. Every morning when we wake up, we remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us. Every morning when we get up, we put on the peace that is only found in Jesus. And so we don't begin our day in a place of anxiety. We begin our day by putting on the gospel of peace. We wear those shoes first. So we get up in the morning and we are not ready to go out for our day until we have experienced that peace. We can't forget Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Therefore, do not be anxious about what? Anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 6 is how you start your day. You present everything to the Lord. And then verse 7 is the beautiful result. He said, and the peace of God, which what? Surpasses all understanding, will literally guard. See, that's a military word. Will literally guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, so we wear the gospel when we go to the Lord and we present him all of the things in life that should be making us anxious. And we all have those things, don't we? Don't you have things that should make you anxious and that should freak you out and that you wake up thinking about? Well, let me tell you, we are not ready to go out into that battle until we've put on the gospel of peace, until we've went to the Lord and we've presented our requests and we've realized, wait a second, Lord, first of all, you've received me into your family. I have nothing to worry about. Your word says, don't fear anything. Wait a minute, Lord. Anything that happens to me, I still reside in the palm of your hand. Hang on a second, Lord. You've said that no temptation has overcome me but what's common, and you'll always give me a way to escape. Wait a second, Lord, what can man do to me? What do I need to be afraid of? Hang on, Lord, I have an inheritance that is incorruptible, can't ever be taken. I have a reservation in heaven waiting for me. Do you see what we're doing? We're waking up in the morning, and we are literally putting on the gospel of feet. You put on your shoes before you're ready to go out, unless you're a flower child or a hippie who likes to go out without shoes on. Had to lighten you up a little bit. We don't go out. We are not prepared to go out until we have put on the gospel of peace. And so we put this on. We put these shoes on first thing in the morning. We experience that peace. We literally wear the gospel. And it's not surprising that he told us to wear the gospel of peace, so that when we enter into the battle, we are at peace. We enter our day in a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. And if we enter into our day in a place of incredible anxiety, then we haven't put on the gospel and we're not ready to go out yet. I'm not saying things won't happen as we get out into our day, but if we have not put on the gospel, if we have not worn those shoes of peace, then we're not yet ready to step out. Because it's going to be a battle. There will be plenty that will happen during your day. But if you haven't started your day in peace, then you're already vulnerable. Then you're already at a place of risk. You already are not prepared yet for the battle. So the first thing we do to put on the shoes of the gospel is we wear the gospel. Second bit of armor in this, in the gospel of peace, number two, we share the gospel. So we not only wear the gospel, but sharing the gospel is literally armor for us. Being prepared to share the good news protects us. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Do you see what he said? He said, "Woe to me." He didn't say, "Woe to you." He didn't say, "Woe to anybody else." He said, "Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel." You see, I'm vulnerable if I'm not putting on the gospel of peace and then going out and sharing the gospel of peace. So once we've shared the gospel with ourselves in the morning, we look for opportunities to share the gospel with others throughout our day. This can happen with our words when we speak the gospel. This can also happen with a peace-filled life. You know, if you live a life that is peace-filled, people will ask about that because that's just not normal. A peace-filled life is so outstanding in the midst of a pretty crazy world at times. We can live a peace-filled life. We can share the gospel with our attitudes towards people who maybe don't treat us the way they should, or towards people who don't do the things they should. We can share the gospel with our actions, can't we? Can't we share the gospel with how we love folks, with what we do? Anything we do that reflects the peace of the gospel of Christ is how we walk out, and it is literally armor for us. When we share the gospel with ourselves, and that peace that passes understanding overflows us, and then we walk out into this world, the battlefield world, in that peace, and that peace starts flowing out from us, all of a sudden that is protection for us. We are less vulnerable to our enemy's attack. We are more prepared when we've put on the shoes and when we've walked out with those peace-filled shoes on our feet. Three pieces of armor this morning, my friends, that I hope and I pray we put on every day. Let's review all three of those pieces of armor. Number one, we put on the belt of truth. We seek truth, we speak truth. Truth. Let's say the white stuff together because I want to get this into your mind. We put on the belt of truth, we seek truth, we speak truth. Number two, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. We pursue righteousness, we do righteousness. Number three, we put on shoes of the gospel. We wear the gospel, we share the gospel. Now my hope is that these three things, and remember I began with this as we started, these will take diligence to put on every day because we will need to put these on prior to needing these things. This is armor that we are to put on every day that literally prepares us for battle. I did these so that we can kind of remember these. We put on the belt of truth. We seek truth. We speak truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We pursue righteousness. We do righteousness. We put on the shoes of the gospel. We wear the gospel. We share the gospel. My heart is that you will begin and I will begin to commit these things to memory so that when we wake up in the morning, we can literally put on the armor of God. That every day we can put it on. And as we put this armor on, we are going to be more prepared. We are going to be less vulnerable. We are going to live truly, hear me in this, less fearful and more fruitful lives for the kingdom. First three pieces of armor this week. Next week, we'll hit the final three. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us your word, which gives us what we need to be successful in this battle, to stand even though the battle rages. God, I thank you that you have shown us the way, and that these pieces of armor actually reflect you. You are the truth. You are our righteousness, and you are our peace. And I pray that as we put these on, we would be putting you on, Jesus. And so I thank you for these pieces of armor. I thank you for the truths behind them. I thank you, God, that we can wear them as we step out into battle, and we can be fully prepared to be able to stand with whatever may come against us. We love you, Father. We worship you and adore you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's stand and close in song. We get to love him in return because he first loved us. Amen? That's the good news. That's the gospel. We put that on every day. We wear the gospel, and then we step out. Now you step out. You step out into your worlds. You step out into the work situations, the school situations, the family situations that God has put you in to be salt and to be light. And now as we wear the gospel, now we go out all week and we share the gospel. Let's put on the armor. Let's be prepared. Let's be ready. Let's not let any vulnerability happen here. Amen? All right, if you'd like to spend some time in prayer, we got prayer folks ready. Otherwise, do have a good week and God bless.